Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And Robin, this morning we welcome Flathead County Administrator Pete Melnick.
Good morning, John. Pete. Good morning, Robin.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Well, we got a whole list of things to talk with you about, so let's get rolling here. The first one is, what are we going to do about our jail? It's full up.
Well, that's a great question. I listened to the sheriff talk the other day, so I think we're all on the same page here. We've partnered with Slate Architecture to do a jail study, and that is finalized. And the county commissioners have to make some decisions now about some options on that. So we're real excited about where this could go.
And you know, we've got a chunk of property already set aside, right?
Well, we're under contract. We don't own it yet. We're under contract. We have to do a bunch of due diligence. We have to do a number of site analysis studies, all that kind of stuff. But once that comes through, and if the appraisal works out, then we should close on that, and we'll have a nice location, I think, an appropriate location for that jail.
What kind of a time frame are we looking at, Pete?
Well, we need the funding first, right? So once we have the property, we think that will help kind of cement the idea in the public's this is where it's going to be. That uncertainty is gone. Uncertainty is the cause of anxiety. Now we know where it is. That's where it is. And then we'll have to go to the public to see if they want to help pay for it. And it will be expensive. It is an expensive project. It will be a state-of-the-art facility like what we need. We will go out for a bond, and we anticipate that we will go out for a bond for the first time in November of 2024.
Now, we should be sure people understand the difference between a bond and a levy. A bond is something that eventually is paid off.
That's right. It's debt. It's municipal or county debt. This would be one of the few debt products that the county has. We are relatively debt-free. The county is very well-run, very financially sound. But this sort of infrastructure takes money that we do not have. And so if the people want it, they believe that we need a jail, then we hope that they will vote accordingly.
Now, we need a jail now. We've talked about it for quite a while. But this has future expansion capabilities too, right?
Yes. Not only is our design going to be bigger, so right now I think we have about 100 bed capacity. This will double it, and it could even add another 100 bed capacity if you cut, you have some surge capability. Mm-hmm. But we also want to add some courtrooms potentially to help with not transferring inmates. Maybe judges come down and do that. And then it also has expansion capability to move the whole sheriff's facility down there.
Yeah. We were wondering about that the day before yesterday when we talked with the sheriff. And he said, I kind of like being right where we are, but, you know, it would be handy to be right there where the inmates are.
Yeah, that'll be something we'll have to have some very good conversations with the sheriff and kind of weigh the costs versus the downsides, the upsides versus the downsides of making that decision. So,
well, the modern jails these days, and this will be a modern jail, what we're trying to do is to make the people who go in a little better off than when they go out. The idea is to we've got mental health and things like that, and opportunities for them to better themselves so that when they come out of jail, they don't go back again.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember this isn't a prison. It's a detention facility. So it's there to hold during some sentencing. So we do there is a design to help people, but not necessarily a full comprehensive health system in that jail.
Yeah. Well, we have health facilities here. We can move people around for that. The next question about it is how much is it going to cost?
Well, it could be expensive. The top end with all the options could be anywhere from $120 to $130 million. So jails are expensive. The way the concrete has to be poured, you can't just put 2x4s in drywall, right? The steel holding doors are expensive. The security systems, the laundry systems, all that kind of stuff are state of the art, and so it's an expensive enterprise.
And you've got to have kitchen facilities.
That's right. We have to have a kitchen facility. We have to have places for the detention officers to do their work, judges to meet with, and attorneys to meet with their clients, security facilities. There's some mental health facilities that are being considered in it. So it is, you know, there's parking lots, you know, all that kind of infrastructure that has to go along with the jail. And you just can't put a regular toilet system in. You have to put toilet system in that can handle clients in the jail who may not want to be there and use the toilet system to protest their, you know, their incarceration. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just a simple building that you would, that most people would think it is.
And, you know, people are very concerned, though, that we are releasing people for crimes that are probably borderline dangerous.
Yeah, and that's probably a better question for the, you know, for the county attorneys and all, and how that justice system prosecutes and holds people accountable. But yeah, we're going to have more beds. And one thing that the analyst said during our jail study is that if you build more capacity, those judges and attorneys will fill it. So people will, if you break a crime, you will spend some time in jail.
Well, right now there is the possibility that based on the limited ability to house people, our level of tolerance is different than it would be, right?
Potentially. Again, that's probably a better question for the county attorneys. Yeah.
What about alternative ways of incarcerating people? For example, the wrist, or not wrist, but the ankle bracelets.
Yeah, I understand that those are very successful. And again, this is a detention facility. It's designed to sort of triage people. Okay, you broke the law, but you're not a threat. Let's get you back out there, provide some monitoring, and then you will show up for your hearing so you could be sentenced and then held even further accountable. Uh-huh. Or if you're dangerous, then we detain you until you're sentencing and you either go to prison or you're set free, right, depending on how the justice system works.
So you're thinking, when will this go to the people?
November of 2024. That's our plan. The commissioners will make some decisions here in the next couple of weeks on how they want to proceed, and then we're going to have to go out and ask the people if this is something that they want.
November, that's the same time we're going to elect a president.
That's right. It'll be a big election. There'll be a lot on that piece of paper that's right. placed in front of you.
Well, the big thing everybody's asking us about is taxes. And we'll ask our county administrator how he feels about mills right after this.
Have you ever signed up for a product or service and asked for more strings attached, please? I don't think so. What you do want is great service, dependability, and value. Easy, no hassles. We can help you with that. This is Cedar Hardy for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. Totally free checking at Glacier Bank is just that. Free, no fine print, no minimum balance required, and no hidden fees. When you open your account, you'll receive a gift. We hope that's okay. Glacier Bank will also buy back your checks and debit card from another financial institution and apply a $25 credit to your new account. Sound good? It is good. You can depend on Glacier Bank to deliver what we offer. No strings attached. Isn't that what you really want?
And our guest this morning is Flathead County Administrator Pete Melnick. Robin just sort of quipped this the other day to, I think first to Dan Wilson and then to, nobody thinks it's funny. We thought it was funny. We said, how do you feel about mills?
Yeah. Well, if they're county mills, I'm pretty proud of them.
But nobody gets the humor. And I guess it isn't a funny thing if you have to pay them.
That's right. Well, you know, just because you have me, you know, the county is very committed to keeping taxes low and our millage rate has went down. Our 2024 budget, approved in August, went down. The county commissioners left approximately $4 million untaxed. They didn't mill the max that they even could by law. They elected to not put that burden on the taxpayer. So we're still providing those county services less than that we did in fiscal year 23, and we left about $4 million untaxed. So I'm proud of what the county has done here.
But it's not helping when the state turns around and raises more money than it seems like they need.
Yeah, that's disappointing. You know, the Supreme Court weighed in on the Montana Supreme Court weighed in on the 95 mils issue, which is now the law of the land.
Now, let me ask you a question because I'm not exactly clear about it. The 95 mils has just kind of been the default thing, but the Department of Revenue is the one who came up with the 77.9?
That's what I understand. Based on the 15-10-420, which is the budget structure that governments in Montana must adhere to,
right.
That would be the appropriate millage rate if you were to apply that formula to that particular levy.
Okay. Well, so that money in the general fund could be saved up for a rainy day?
You're talking about the difference between the 77.9 and the 95?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure where that's going. It will go to the general fund. It doesn't necessarily go to the schools. Now, it may be, you know, the color of money matters. They may have to move it towards schools in some way. But I think that's a fair question that taxpayers should ask the state is, okay, you're now taking more money than you need. What are you going to do with it?
Okay.
Well, the key question here, I think, the much larger question is, what are we going to do next? We've got property values shooting right out of the sky. And the property taxes are the sole support of everything we're doing around here.
Yes, there's some political action that'll take place, and I'll let the electeds handle that.
Yeah.
That's not my role.
Okay.
But the mechanism of collecting that taxes, that is a little bit of my role and the role of the county treasurer. So we've got a couple of options. One is we can upfront the money. We do have it, and it's $8.5 million, and then reassess all the taxpayers to pay that back. But what I anticipate is that your taxes for the spring bill, the May bill, will show that increase. And I think it's roughly $120 for every $400,000 in value. So you will see your taxes most likely go up in the spring.
Oh, well, that's not the news we were hoping for, but that's the reality we're facing.
It's disappointing. It's $8.5 million that the Flathead County taxpayers will have to pay.
And we don't get it.
No, it goes to the state. This is not county. All we are is the collector. This does not go to Flathead County. Mm-hmm. Doesn't go to our services. Doesn't go to my salary. Doesn't go anywhere, but it goes directly to the state.
Well, I hope they spend it well.
Yeah. And it's for the purpose of equalization, though, correct? Ostensibly.
Yes, that this is like a funded mandate. We get an awful lot of unfunded mandates from the state. You know, the legislature says the counties and cities will do this, and we say, well, is there any money for it? Nope, you got to figure it out. This is a funded mandate, so they want to equalize the school funding throughout the state, and so they assess that through property taxes. What I understand is that the legislature, though, sets like a level, and then the mill should go down to meet that. Well, what they did is they set a level. The 77.9 should go down to meet that, but they kept it at 95. So the level stays the same. Then there's just that delta, that difference between the baseline, what is authorized by the statute, and then what is collected.
Oh, delta. Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, let's talk septage after this.
Yeah.
How many choices do you make in a day? From what clothes you wear to what's for lunch, there are many. We'd like to help the big ones be a little easier. This is Julia McDaniel with Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. There are many places to get a personal loan, online and here in town. If you choose Glacier Bank, we promise to do everything we can to make the process simple and pleasant, and get you the money you need to make something exciting happen. Maybe it's a new vehicle, kitchen remodel, or summer toy. There are barbecue grills to consider and landscaping projects to think about.
You make those decisions. Glacier Bank will handle the rest. Call or visit. Let's sit down with a cup of coffee and get things rolling. Now, what to make for dinner?
Of the septage plant and lakeside and all of that now.
Well, we are, if I'm officiating, we are moving towards the end zone. We're headed that way. There's been some great developments. We are running almost two concurrent processes here, and this might be kind of new for most people. One is, you know, we have the Dyer property, and we were looking at building a biosolids composting facility. Mm-hmm. And all of the bids that came out to build and design that came in yesterday. And we got three contractors from all over the country that came in and wants us to consider them to build that facility. Now, if you remember back in, I think it was February or March, the county commissioners voted no on buying that property, right, which essentially caused a massive kink in the septage project.
Yeah.
Well, that, this is like that happy accident, right? That caused a kind of an alternate time loop, I guess, and it made a bunch of other entities do things different. One of those was Lakeside Water and Sewer District.
Okay.
So what they decided to do because of that, no, they thought the project was dead, is they have some ARPA money and they need some expansion capabilities. So they redesigned their facility to handle a certain type of waste. Well, a member of our staff couldn't sleep at night, and she started thinking, hey, how could – there's some synergy there. There's some partnerships we can do there. And it turns out that that there is a very good opportunity that Lakeside can expand what they're already designing, add – a certain technology, and they can take the entire county's porta potty and septage waste, and all we've got to do is write a check of ARPA money. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. It's a win-win for the
Lakeside.
It's a triple win. It's a win-win for Lakeside. It's a win for the county because we don't want to be in the business of running it. We're not experts in this.
Yeah.
And it's a win-win for the county people that own septics. So we're very excited about this. The Lakeside Water and Sewer District Board voted to move forward. They have their engineering company studying it. And we're hoping to get some cost analysis early next week.
Wow. So this could start moving real quickly.
This could start moving super quick. And that's the best news I think we could have right now.
Well, the problem is that we have more septic tanks being built every day.
We do.
And we're somewhere around 30,000 now that are the ones we know about, the ones that are licensed.
30,000 and growing. And the current process is, and again, this is all perfectly legal. It's perfectly approved by DEQ. It's used all over the world. Is a septic truck, a truck backs up to your tank, pumps the sludge and water and everything out there, gets it nice and clean, drives it to essentially a giant farmer's field, mm-hmm. and ground injects it into the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's from your tank into the ground. It's tilled, and again, perfectly legal, but we, the county, this is a beautiful place. We think we can do better than that, and that's why we're moving forward with this project.
Well, we kind of have to because we're running out of that farmland that we need to till it into.
And that's the thing. We have many, many farmers who came forward and said, you need to build this facility, because when I signed this contract with the pumpers 20 years ago, I had no neighbors. Now these subdivisions are encroaching.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they're like, what are you doing? I don't like this. And they're complaining to the neighbors. So... And the neighbor and the farmer's like, I don't want to be in this business anymore.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best news I've had. We've had many conversations about this with our former Flathead City County Health Officer, Joe Russell. And Joe is just wringing his hands. And he was,
it's been going on for decades.
Yeah. And he just says, we have got to get this done. He said, these guys are going to have to dump it. Along the highways here if we don't do something.
Well, I know some of the pumpers, when the capacity of these farmers' fields has been used up, they have to drive it out of county somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And what does that do? It adds to their expenses and they pass it on to you. So again, this is a safe, clean, environmentally friendly way to dispose of all the septic waste. So we're excited about it.
And we should do this before they build a lot of homes and stuff around it.
Oh, we should. The best time to start is now. The better time to start was 20 years ago. Yeah. So we're already behind the eight ball. We need to get going.
All right. Hmm. Gosh, what else is going on at the county?
Oh, we have all kinds of stuff. This is an exciting time. You know, we've had some employment issues in the past. We are on the backside of that.
Really?
The sheriff's office is completely 100% staffed. The detention office, all those detention officers are 100% staffed. There was a lot of issues the last couple of years about filling those roles, but the sheriff and Commander Root, who runs the detention facility, really, really put their foot on the gas and filled those vacancies.
You know, I thought Brian looked a lot more relaxed the other day than he has in a while.
And it's good that we have those deputies out on the street. They're able to take some time off. They're still working hard. Don't get me wrong. They're still working hard, but we're glad that they're there.
And we know the number one thing that people talk about is housing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've been paying attention. I sure am seeing a lot of construction. You know, by Conlon's Furniture behind there, there's big apartments being put in. And when is this stuff going to get online? When are we going to start feeling the relief and prices coming down for housing? Or are prices never going to come down again?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not an economist, but right now it looks like the, you know, where the supply and demand curve meet, no matter which way they shift, you're going to find some level of equilibrium. And whether or not those prices are elastic or inelastic will determine whether these prices come down. Right now, things are very inelastic, so prices are high.
Okay.
It's always a great conversation. We get so much information in such a short period of time. Flathead County Administrator Pete Melnick, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, John. Steve. Thank you, Robin.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. Please plan on joining us Monday for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. We're going to talk with Maco President and Fergus County Commissioner Ross Butcher. Yes, we're going to talk more mills on Monday. Now your official Northwest Montana forecast.
Our snow chances will pick up as we head through the day. Our high temperatures this afternoon into the lower 30s. Snow remains likely tonight. Overnight lows into the low 20s and accumulations are going to be very light. Snow continues Saturday. Our high right around 35. And then we'll see snow mixing with some rain at times on Sunday. Our high in the upper 30s. A chance of rain or freezing rain Sunday night.
KGEZ's official Northwest Montana
tour of temperatures,
yes,
John.
Yes, let's do it.
26 in Libby right now, 21 in Whitefish. Here in downtown Kalispell, 22 KGEZ degrees. Today's high should hit above freezing.